we learned Parshas Bereishis, we talked about how the Bria, the creation, was a bunch of pieces until it comes to the culmination of the Bria, of the creation, in the Shabbos and in the creation of Adam, of man, who serves as the content and the binding purpose that holds the Bria together, that defines the role and the direction of Bria, of creation as a whole. And last week, in Parshas Noach, we talked about how in the failure of creation, Noach's direction, the direction of Noach's work, was in the breakdown and the recreation, the physical breakdown and the physical recreation of the world through the Teva, through him. That was the way that we went about seeing the creation of seeing the remaking of creation. That Avram represented something else, and that what Avram did was nothing about physically recreating the world. The world remained as the world had been before in the physical sense, but Avram Avinu would change internally. He would make a transformation in the world internally. He would bring the world b'tshuva, and that would be that which would transform the world. So I would like to talk about this today. This is really connected back in the greatest sense to Bereishis. It's the idea that here what we have is he's taking the world and he's giving it its Adam, its person for whom everything is supposed to come together. He's giving it its Shabbos, its content of Kedusha and of meaning for which it all is supposed to come together. That's what Avraham Avinu is going to provide for the world. In the words of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where it speaks about how Basaram Amoreis Nivraelam, the world was created with 10 statements to tell you that the righteous person who maintains who does what he's supposed to do is rewarded for maintaining the totality of the world. That's really Avraham Avinu's role. Avraham Avinu is here to give it its content, to give the world its direction and its purpose. And let's spend our time here tonight looking a little bit at that, at those aspects of Avram, how he changed the world and how this really defined the purpose of his existence and the direction of the change which he accomplished. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Hashem said to Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha u'mimoladetecha u'mibeis avicha el oret asher arecha. Hashem said to Avram, I want you to go for yourself, to leave your land, your birthplace, your father's house, to the land that I will show you. Ve'escha l'goy gadol, I'll make you into a great nation. Va'varechach, I will bless you. Va'agad l'shemecha, I will make you famous, I will make you known. Ve'yei bracha, and you will be a blessing. Va'varcha mevarechecha mekalelcha or, I will bless those who bless you, those who curse you, I will curse. Through you will be blessed all of the families of the earth. The Ramban famously asks, what's going on here? What kind of introduction is this to Avram? Why should Hashem come to any person and say to him, I want you to go there, and if you go there, I'm going to promise you the whole wide world? How does that work? When Hashem chose Noach and said, you build the Teva and I will salvage you, it explained that Noach was righteous. Noach was special. He was a tzaddik lefonai bador hazeh. Right? I saw Noach, tzaddik tamim haya b'day reisav. He was righteous. He was special in his time. He was unique. Avram Avinu, without introduction, without any explicit kind of introduction as to who he is, as to what he's done, as to what he stands for, Hashem comes and he promises him fame and fortune and family and all of these fantastic things. How could it be? Why should it be? What's the meaning of the presentation of the Pasuk? Explains the Ramban that the Pasuk is not simply promising Avram Avinu great prizes, great rewards for going to Eretz Yisrael. What the Pasuk is promising Avram Avinu is success in that which was Avram Avinu's goal from the beginning. Avram Avinu indeed wanted to be Lagoy Gadol. He wanted to be a great nation. Why did he want to be a great nation? He wanted to have a big estate. He wanted to have a big family. He wanted to have all of these things. Avram Avinu had set about already in Ur Kasdim trying to teach people about Hashem Yisbarach. trying to teach people about God, about monotheism, about the seven mitzvahs which he knew, which were the responsibility of man to be able to keep. This was Avraham Avinu's goal and his purpose and his chosen work in his life. However, it was a job which was very frustrated. It was a job where when he tried to do it in Ur Kasdim, he met with complete and total opposition. Everything he tried to do was pushed back, was stymied, to the point where, as we know, Nimrod tried to throw him into the Kivshan HaEsh, into a fiery furnace, to kill him and to destroy him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, if you go, you leave the land of your birthplace, where you're not being successful in this idea of spreading the name of Hashem so that it will be known. You go to Eretz Canaan, there is where you're going to be successful. There, ve'eschol gadol, there I will make you into a great nation. There, v'avorechacha, there I will bless you. There, v'agad lo shemecha, there I will make you famous. Fame, fortune, what does he need it for? He needs it because as long as Avraham Avinu is just some kind of a renegade, some kind of a dissident, some kind of a fellow who has to run away and gets thrown in prison, he is not going to be the tone setter. He's not going to be the person who's going to transform the way of thinking of the nation, of the country, or of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, if you do these things, if you go to Eretz Canaan, there it will go well. There indeed you will be successful. There's a clear hint to this. Hashem promises Avram, Ve'ezcha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a goy gadol, into a great nation. What does it mean to be a great nation? Again, on a simple level, Rashi translates it. Here, if you stay in Ur Kasdim, you won't merit to have children. You go to Eretz Canaan, there you will merit to have children. That's what Hashem promises Avram, which of course is more of a miraculous thing than this kind of idea, this kind of ease and success that the Ramban spoke about. But we find later in the Torah, where the Torah describes the Jewish people becoming a goy gadol, a great people, a great nation, exactly the words which Avraham Avinu was promised here, we find a description of exactly what that means. And this is in Parshas Vaeschanan, in Sefer Devarim, where Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to the Jewish people, and it's already after the giving of the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is now at the beginning of the last repetition of giving of the Torah that he will do during the last month of his life. And he says, behold, I have taught you laws like Hashem, my God, has commanded me. Lasois came to do it, b'kerev ha'aretz, in the midst of the land, asher atem bo'im shama l'rishta, that you are coming there to inherit. Ushmartem v'asisem, you should observe and do these laws. Why? Ki chachmaschem uvinaschem la'inei ha'amim. Because it is your wisdom and your understanding before the eyes of the nations. Ashi yishmun eskol achukim o'ela, they will hear all of these laws. V'omru, and they will say, rakam chacham v'nova in hagoy hagodol hazeh. But a wise and understanding nation is this great nation. They will observe you and they will say you are indeed wise and understanding. What's the key word here? Hagoy hagodol hazeh. This great nation. And the pasuk goes on and elaborates in two psukim. Ki mi goy gadol. For who is a great nation? Asher loy elokim krevim elav, kashem elokeinu v'chol koreinu elav. Who is a great nation that has a God that is close to it, immediate to it, like Hashem our God is, whenever we call to Him? Hashem responds to our tefillos. When the people will look at the Jewish people, they will say, wow, what a great nation, that Hashem responds to them. Umi goy gadol, and who is a great nation? Asher loy chukim u'mishpatim tzadikim. That has such wise and just laws like the ones that I'm placing before you today. The Jewish people will be a goy gadol. That doesn't mean that they will be millions of people or hundreds of thousands of people. What it's speaking about, the value of prominence, the greatness itself, the prominence itself, is the prominence of being a nation that is seen as having a connection to Hashem, and seeing that that connection to Hashem, the wisdom, the Torah which was given to them, really comes out presenting as something outstanding, something magnificent. That's the Goy Gadol which they wanted to be. That's the Goy Gadol which Hashem speaks about, which Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, I've taught you these laws, that's what you can become. That's the Goy Gadol which Avraham Avinu wanted to be. He wanted to be a banner nation in representing what it means to be a godly nation, what it means to teach people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about Hashem, about His nearness and His presence in this world, and about that which He is there to share with this world. This pasuk is the kiyum, is the fulfillment of the promise to Avram. And this is what Avram Avinu sought. This was Avram Avinu's full, clear goal, to be able to represent this, to be able to create in this way this difference within the world. In Parshas Chayei Sara, Avram Avinu is getting close to the end of his life, and he calls upon Eliezer, and he says, I want you to go and find a wife for my son, for Yitzchak. And he says to him as follows. He says, Eliezer, Hashem Elokei HaShamayim V'Elokei HaOretz, V'Ashviyacho B'Hashem Elokei HaShamayim V'Elokei HaOretz, I want you to swear to me, I want to make you swear by Hashem, who's the God of the heavens and the God of the earth, Asher Leisikach Yishol Livni Mibnei Saknani Asher Anoichi Yosher B'Kirvoi, that will you not take for my son a wife from the Canaanite women that I'm living in their midst. Everybody knows the story. So Eliezer starts asking questions. What happens if the woman doesn't want to come? And HaKadosh Baruch, and Avram Avinu says to Eliezer, don't take my son back there. And he says, Hashem Elokei HaShamayim, Hashem the God of the heavens, Asher Lokachani, mi beis avi u'me'eretz moladiti, who took me from my father's house and my birthplace, and spoke to me and promised me, and he said to my children, I'm going to give this land. Right, he's going to take care of it. He'll send his malach, he'll send his messenger before you, and you'll get a wife for my son from there. If you notice, when I read the psukim, there's a change from the first to the second. And Rashi notes the change. All the Rishonim, Chazal, discuss the change. In the first time, he says, Hashem, I want to make you swear by Hashem, the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. And here, he says, Hashem, Elokei HaShamayim, Hashem, the God of the heavens. What changed? What changed? Says Rashi. Why the next second time does he switch and he just say that Hashem, the God of the heavens, who took me from my father's house? Omar loy, he said to Eliezer, Achshav hu Elokei HaShamayim v'Elokei HaOretz. Now, I'm making you swear by God. Who's God? God is the God of the heavens and the God of the earth. That's who He is now. But when He took me from my father's house, He was the God of the heavens. He was not the God of the earth. People didn't know about Him. His name was not commonplace, was not used in the land. Avram Avinu changed that. We all know that. Avraham Avinu characterizes in a certain sense, in this subtlety with Eliezer, the before and after, right? It wasn't some hair-growing formula that Avraham Avinu went through over here. He was a God-growing formula, right? Avraham Avinu says, this is the world before I came on the scene. Hashem, Elokei HaShamayim, Hashem in the heavens, not Elokei HaOretz, not down here on this earth. Now, people know about Him. Now He's Elokei HaShamayim v'Elokei HaOretz. That's my accomplishment. That's my role. That was His purpose. His purpose was to restore the heart of the world, the purpose of the world, to make it that instead of it world being a world of machisim abayim, a world that angered Hashem, to instead bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence back into the world. That was His role. And that was what Avraham Avinu, indeed, singularly accomplished. In certain ways, some understand that that perhaps is something which was also said here in this week's Parsha, later in this week's Parsha, well after Sheni, where we have the story of the war of the four kings against the five. And Avraham Avinu comes and he fights against the four kings. Why? Because his nephew Lot was taken with the king of Sodom and the others, with the five kings. And the king of, it says, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem, Malki Tzedek, the king of Shalem, who was Shem ben Noach, he went out to greet Avram after he was victorious. And he says, Baruch Avram le'el el-yoyim k'nei shamayim v'aretz. Blessed is Avram, to the highest God who owns heaven and earth. And then, Baruch el el-yoyim asher migein tzarecha v'yodecha. And blessed is the highest God who gave over your enemies into your hand. He put Avram before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He put Avram before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Nedarim says that because of this, Shem and Noach lost his right to the Kohuna forever and was given instead to his grandchildren, but to one specific part of them, to the children of Avram Avinu. But part of what Shem and Noach says, it's written, part of what Shem and Noach says is he puts Avram Avinu before he puts HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before he mentions Baruch Avram Avinu and then Baruch El Elyon, is because Avram Avinu was the one who in fact had brought Hashem into the realm of being Konei Shamayim V'aretz. So he puts Avram Avinu first. You know what's written in Taisvas in the Rishonim? We have a rule with brachas. Our rule with brachas is that every time you make a bracha, you have to say Shem U'Malchus. You have to mention Hashem's name. Baruch Atah Hashem. Without mentioning Hashem's name, it's not a bracha. But you also have to say Malchus. You have to refer to Hashem as the King of the Earth. Melech Ha'olam. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam. We paskin like Rav Yechlan that a person who doesn't say Shem U'Malchus in his bracha, it's not a bracha. So if a person says Baruch Atah Hashem Bairi Pri Ha'etz, right? They have to make a bracha over again. If they want to eat the apple, they have to say again, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Bairi Pri Ha'etz. This is true of every bracha. There is, however, a way to accomplish that somewhat indirectly. Something called Bracha Hasmucha L'Chaverta, which is when you have a series of brachas. So for instance, when you bench, the first bracha you say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Hazanas Ha'olam. You say Hashem's name, you refer to Him as King of the Earth. You finish the bracha where you can say it shortly, Baruch Atah Hashem Hazanas Ha'kol, because it's part of the bracha where you mention Hashem as the King. The next bracha, Nodelecha, we never mention Hashem as the King of the Earth. Why? Because that bracha is attached to the first one. So we end Baruch Atah Hashem Al Oretz Ve'al Hamazon. We don't have to start again and say Elokeinu Melech Olam because it's part of a series. Right? That's what we call Bracha Smucha L'Chaverta, is part of a series. And if in the beginning of the series you said Elokeinu Melech Olam, that's enough for the rest. Okay? Basic rule in brachas. However, there's one big exception to this. It's a big one. It's a huge one. Where's that? Tefillah, Shemana Esrei. What do you say in Shemana Esrei? It's also brachas. It's called Shemana Esrei because it's Shemana Esrei brachas. It's 18 brachas. Shemana Esrei is an amalgam of brachos. So you start off, right? That the second one, third one, fourth one, through the 18th or the 19th doesn't say Melech Olam. That doesn't bother us as long as the first one does, right? Because it's a series. But what does the first bracha say? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam? No. Elokei Aviseinu, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Right? It doesn't say Melech Olam. It does say, to be fair, at the end of the bracha, Melech Ozeru Mashiach Magen. Right? But it never refers to Hashem as Melech Olam. Well, some will say, okay, well, it says Kone Hakol. He owns everything. So, okay, so maybe that's a way to refer to him as Melech Olam. But Taisha says differently. He says, you know how we did say Melech Olam. How do we say Melech Olam? Because we said Elokei Avram. When you say Hashem is the God of Avram, Avram was the one who made Hashem Melech Olam, the God of this earth. And therefore, by saying Elokei Avram, it's equal to, it's tantamount to saying Melacha'ela. This was Avram. This was Avram's role. This was Avram's accomplishment. We have a beautiful example of this. We have a beautiful example of this, again, in the first Aliyah of our Parsha. As I told you at the beginning of the year, I'm trying to focus our learning on the first Aliyah of the Parsha. And what we're trying to do, really more than anything else, is not just say a thought about something in the first Aliyah of the Parsha, but I'm trying to say what the first Aliyah of the Parsha is about in the form of a shiur. Right? So I'm not teaching you the psukim, right? I hope you'll have a chance before, after, to study the verses. But the first Aliyah in Parshas Lech Lecha, it starts off with, of course, as we've been explaining here, the definition of Avraham Avinu's mission. Not by Hashem telling him, this is what I need you to do, but it being obvious from what Hashem is telling him, I'm going to make it possible for you to do what you want to do, to have this greatness, to have this prominence. Then, what else happens? What goes on? So Avraham Avinu goes, he listens to the instruction. You said, if I go to Eretz Yisrael, there I'm going to be prominent and successful in spreading the name of Hashem. I'll do it. So what does he do? So he goes and he picks up and he takes his wife and his brother-in-law and his nefesh hashoshes v'chor and everything which they had, and they go off to Canaan. And what happens? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him. Vayavar Avraham b'aretz ad mekayim shechem ad eilon moreh. Vaklani oz v'aretz. Vayera Hashem el Avram, and Hashem appeared to Avram. Vayomer, and he said, "Lizaracha etenas oretz hazayis, to your children, I will give this land." Vayiven sham hisbeach l'Hashem ani ra'elav. In response to Hashem appearing to him, what does Avram Avinu do? He builds a mizbeach. He builds a mizbeach to Hashem who had appeared to him. Hashem appeared to me here. I build a mizbeach to His presence. Now, if that was you, and you just arrived in Eretz Yisrael, and where you arrive in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem tapped you on the shoulder and said, this place is yours. And He just appeared to you here. What would you do? Well, I'll tell you what I would probably do. I would say, boy, Hashem just appeared to me here. I built a mizbeach to Him here because He appeared to me here. He says He's giving me this land. I'm here. I'm not moving until He tells me to move. Right? This is it. This is the place. What does Avraham Avinu do? No sooner has he built the mizbeach, Hashem will appear to him. Vayatek misham, hahara mikedem uveitzel vayeta olay. Avraham Avinu picks himself up and moves on. Vayiven sham mizbeach Hashem. He goes to a new place and he builds there mizbeach to Hashem. Vayikra b'shem Hashem, and he calls out the name of Hashem. What is he doing? Why is he leaving? Why is Avraham Avinu not staying where HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him? What does Avram do? Vayiven sham mizbeach l'Hashem. He built her mizbeach to Hashem. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. And he called out in the name of Hashem. What does it mean, Vayikra b'shem Hashem? How does that translate? So Targum says, Vayikra b'shem Hashem is, he davened in the name of Hashem. He davened using the name of Hashem. He called out to Hashem. Right? That's the famous phrase which we've said during the Slichos period, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. I want to begin. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Kisisa, he called out the name of Hashem. He davened, Hashem, Hashem, help me. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. Ramban himself, quotes the Rambam, disagrees. And he says, no, the idea is, Vayikra b'shem Hashem was, he started teaching people about Hashem. Right? Vayikra b'shem Hashem is Avraham Avinu's famous outreach work. He went and he declared B'kol Gadol in a loud voice, teaching people about the presence of Hashem and about the truth of Hashem. That's Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. Okay, so he dove into Hashem. He taught people about Hashem. Why didn't he do that in the first place? Why didn't he do that where he was before? And it seems like this, that in Shechem, Avraham Avinu traveled through the land, and he didn't do anything. He traveled through the land, and at a certain point, Hashem tapped him on the shoulder and said, Avraham Avinu, and he appeared to Avraham. And he said, I'm giving your children this land. So Avraham Avinu built the Mizbeach in response to the appearance of Hashem. But that wasn't Avram's job. Avram's job wasn't to respond to the existing presence of Hashem. Avram's job was to create presence of Hashem. In Shechem, Hashem said, I'm here. And Avraham Avinu acknowledged the fact that Hashem was there. And then Avraham Avinu got up and he said, Where isn't he? And he went to Beis El. And there he didn't see. Nobody knew about him. There, Hashem didn't come to him. So he taught people about Hashem, as Ramban would say. He called out to Hashem and he said, Hashem, come here. He built a Mizbeach not in response to Hashem's presence, but to create Hashem's presence. That's Avram. That's Avram Avinu, building the presence of Hashem here on this earth. Now, this is not something which just happens to be. What Avraham Avinu does here as he comes on the scene. In the end of Parshas Noach, we have the story that sets the context for Avraham Avinu's appearance on the scene. When we go back to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we alluded to earlier, that we focused on a little bit more last week, there were 10 generations from Adam until Noach. And they were machisim uboim. They were progressively angering Hashem. They were degenerating. Until the waters of Mabel came and washed them away. Everybody knows that story? That story is well documented in the Chumash. We know how the world was becoming degenerate in the time of Noach. Pasuk describes it, describes all the different averas that they did, the ones which they did, the ones which sealed their fate. And then Hashem came and washed the world away. And then, says the Mishnah, there were equally 10 generations from Noach till Avram. And they were also progressively angering Hashem. Until Avram Avinu came and received the reward of them all. Avram saved the world, Avram was chosen, whatever it is. Where is that documented? Where do we have a description post the Mabul of the world going to pot? So we have one description. And that description is the context from which Avraham Avinu came. And what was that? Migdal Bavel. At the end of Parshas Noach, we have the story of the Tower of Bavel. In the Tower of Bavel, what happens? Vayikol Eretz Tzafa Echos Udvarim Achadim. All the world was one language and a single direction. Vayi Benasa Mikedem. And it was as they were traveling Mikedem, they were traveling from the east, or as Rashi brings, as Chazal say, Mikadmoinei Shel Olam, from the origins, from Hashem, from belief in the Rabbona Shel Olam. Sorry, he doesn't say it over here. It says in our parsha by Loit. But Vayibin Asam Mikedem, Vayimtsu Bikab Eret Shinar, Vayeshu Sham, they found a valley in land of Shinar, and they settled there, Bavel. And they said, we're going to build this, and we're going to build a tower, and so on and so forth. We're going to make for ourselves a name. We're going to drive a stake into the ground here for us, lest we be scattered upon the face of the earth. What does that mean? What were they worried about? Okay, so on the simplest level, if you just read the words, what they were saying is, you know, we're going to build a skyscraper, and then we'll just live around it. Okay, it'll be our focal point, we'll all live around it, right? If you look at your Google Maps, you'll see, right, the tall buildings in the middle, and all the neighborhoods revolve around the tall buildings. All the city, all the suburbs, everything revolves around the tall buildings. It's a way to hold the world together. However, Chazal put deeper things into it. And Rashi famously quotes some of the thinking that was there in the time of the Migdal Bavel. Omru, they said, Bo be'etza achas, they came with one idea, and they said, Loi kol heimenu sheyovur loi esa al yainim, nalu l'rakia v'nasa imay melchama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to take the heavens for himself. Let us go up to the heavens, and we're going to wage war with him. Dovar achir, another pshat, al yechidai shalaylam. When Dvarim Achadim was that they were trying to wage war again against the Rabbeinu shalaylam. Dovar acher, udvarim achadim, Amru, they said, you know, once every 1656 years, the heavens collapse like it did in the days of the Mabul, let's prop it up. That was what was going on over here, all these kinds of schemes. The idea of building a tower, a migdol, for Roshay Bashamayim, with its top in the heavens, we understood as something of an assault on the Ribbono Shel Olam. something against him, trying to invade his space, or at least to withhold him from entering ours. V'naseh lanu shem, and we will make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered upon the face of the earth. That was their goal. That was what they were trying to accomplish. Avram Avinu left the Dor HaFlaga. At the time of the Dor HaFlaga, everybody was involved. Avram Avinu was not. Avram Avinu was, almost everybody was involved. Avram Avinu was not. He separated himself from it. In the time of the Dor HaFlaga, the world had become to such a point where machitzim uboim, to the point where they were indeed perhaps worthy of destruction. Their idea about the timeline of the Mabul maybe affecting them maybe wasn't completely off. Not because the skies collapse after so many years under their own weight, but under the weight of the failings of man, perhaps the skies would collapse. But what they were doing was they were building an earth that would be able to be God-proof. And Avram Avinu left them. Ad shebo Avram Avinu. And what was Avram Avinu doing? He wasn't building towers. He was building little mizbechais, little altars. And those altars were for what purpose? To bring Hashem down to this earth. Where the Tower of Babel was trying to banish Hashem from this earth, from that emerged Avram Avinu, whose entire goal and purpose was to bring Hashem onto this earth. That's how he's contrasted with everybody else. That's Avram. Is his construction dramatic? Is he building a teva or building a tower? No. This is the Avram that we started talking about before. Avram Avinu, whose goal it is not to create magnificent structures, but to fill the structures with purpose, to direct and to forge a purpose, a tachlis, a heart and soul to the Bria, to the world. That was what Avram Avinu was about. To make the Goy Godel, that people would say that's the Goy Godel asher lo yalekim krevim elav, that has a God who responds to their tefillas, that's a Goy Godel asher lo chukim mishpatim tzadikim, that is filled with righteous laws. Now that was the role of Avram. Avram faced tremendous opposition. He was there in the time of the Tower of Babel. Who was the leader in the time of the Tower of Babel? Nimrod. Nimrod was Gibor Tzad Lifnei Hashem. He was the one who was strapping, fighting against the Rabbanu Shel Olam. He was the one who conceived of this idea of the Tower of Babel. And Nimrod was the antagonist par excellence of Avram Avinu. Started there with the Tower of Babel, personally with Avram throwing him into the Kibshon HaEsh, into the fiery furnace. And even in this week's Parsha, in the fourth Aliyah, right, where you have the battle of the four kings, by Hibi Mei, Amraphel, who was coming to fight against Lot as a way of fighting against Avram Avinu, was Amraphel, was Nimrod. He is the constant chronic enemy of Avram Avinu. The constant and chronic enemy of Avram Avinu. He was the one who threw him into the fiery furnace because of his lack of desire to go and serve his God. Now, we have a rule. A rule that we learn about, that the Ramban introduces us to in Parshas Lech Lecha, in the first Aliyah in Parshas Lech Lecha. The rule is called Ma'aseh Aveisim U'Banim. The stories, the actions of the Aveis are a harbinger of things to come. They're a sign for the children. What they go through is a pattern setter for what the children, the descendants at a later time, will go through. We can learn, perhaps, from how they reacted to the situations. We will learn how to react to similar situations at different times. Avram Avinu, we have as well in the story Hiltel Sheni, he goes down to Mitzrayim because of a famine and miraculously is saved. Right? Later his children would go down to Mitzrayim because of a famine and would be miraculously saved. Myself is similar upon him. But I want to show you a very simple and very vivid Masa of a similar banim with the story of Avram Avinu and the Kibshon HaEsh. It's a story of three famous young men. Their names were Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah. Hanani, Mishael, and Azar were young Jewish men who lived in Babel during the time of, no, not during the time of Nimrod, but during the time of an heir to Nimrod, whose name was Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar built a huge tower. No, it wasn't a Milo Reshe Bashamayim. It was, you know, it wasn't from the same thing, but it was like that, what we would think like a totem pole. It was a huge, huge pole, a huge, tall idol that everyone was supposed to worship. Everyone. All the people who were under Nimrod's kingdom, Freudian, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, they were all supposed to come together and they were all supposed to worship and bow down to this idol. In Babel, this tall, great idol in Babel. Okay? Nimrod built a tower of Babel, which, again, you read the pasuk, it has no explicit religious connotation, but Chazal tell us this was the war against Hashem, and Nebuchadnezzar did the same thing. And Avraham Avinu refused. And because of that, what happened? He was thrown into a fiery furnace. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused. And what happened to them? They were thrown into a fiery furnace. Right? The lions then were saved for Daniel. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And just like Avraham Avinu wasn't burnt, Medrash tells us, right? Because it says Ur Kasdim twice in the end of last week's parsha. The Torah never tells us that story. Medrash tells us by the allusion of the notion Ur Kasdim, the fires of Kasdim. But the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were told very, very explicitly. Told in detail in Sefer Daniel what happened with them. We're told that the people who went to throw them into the fire got burnt, right? Because it was so hot, the fire. But they were sitting there, you know, relaxing, going like this. You know, whatever it was. They were okay. Nothing happened to them. Hashem saved them. Okay, great. Myself is similar bottom, right? Listen to the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. HaMitzvah Atshiyas, the ninth mitzvah of the 613 mitzvahs to the Torah, the ninth positive commandment of the Ramach, of the 248 positive mitzvahs of the Torah, is Shesivanu L'Kadesh Hashem. We are instructed to be Mekadesh Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name. V'u'amrei, and that's what the pasuk says, V'nigdashti v'saych b'nei Yisrael, I'll be sanctified in the midst of the Jewish people. V'inyan zeis ha-mitzvah. What's the idea of this mitzvah? Asher anachtu mitzuvim lefarsem ha-emuna ha-zeis ha-mitis ba'olam. We are instructed to make known this true faith, the faith in Hashem within the world. V'shaloi nefachid behezik shum mazik. And we should not be intimidated by anything in trying to do so. V'aval v'shaba aleinu machriach goyver. Even though there will come upon us a machriach, a coercive goyver who is strong, yivakish v'menu lichbar b'yisal, and he will demand of us that we deny our belief in Hashem. Lo yinishma mimenu, we won't heed him. Avol nimsar atzmeinu l'misa, we would rather give our lives. V'lo yinateu lachshev shekavarnu v'afal b'shalibenu mamin b'yisal. We won't even try to deceive him, to say, oh yes, okay, we believe you. We believe in your God. But inside we don't. We're not going to be hidden Jews. We're going to be open Jews. Right? Remember those beautiful that story, beautiful and tragic story in the Gemara. The king said, please, just do me a favor. I'll throw down a quarter in front of the idol. You'll bend down and pick it up. People will think you bow down. No, they wouldn't do that. They can't give the impression, because Kiddush Hashem demands lefarsem emuna in your heart. You need the world to believe in Hashem. So it doesn't help if you're giving people the wrong impression. You're not doing that aspect of Kiddush Hashem. V'zoisi mitzvahs Kiddush Hashem ha-mitzuvim ba-b'nei Yisrael b'chlolam. Says the Rambam, fascinating words. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, which is the communal mandate of the Jewish people. It's not simply a mitzvah like you and I have, you know, keep the Shabbos, put on tefillin, whatever it is. I'm sorry, it's not a good example for half the people here. But whatever it is, you know, a specific mitzvah that every individual has. No. This is the way the Rambam describes it. It's unique language. He uses the same kind of a thing in the Mishnah Torah. Kol Beis Yisrael. We've discussed it sometime before, right? It's a mitzvah on the Jewish people as a whole. It's a collective mitzvah on the Jewish people. Right? So Lomer Mesiras Nafshenu Lomus Biada Oynas Al Avasa Yisbarach Vemunas Yichudai. Kiddush Hashem, meaning, right, in what we know is the ultimate expression of Kiddush Hashem, giving our lives over in the hands of this coercive fellow because of our love of Hashem and our belief in His Yichud, in His unity and uniqueness. K'may she'asu Hanani Mishael v'Azariah, says the Rambam, what's the classic example? Rabbi Hanani Mishael v'Azariah, b'zvan Nebuchadnezzar, in the time of the Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha, when he made a decree that people should bow down to his image, everybody, all the nations bow down, the Yisrael Bichlal, including the Jews. And there was nobody there sanctifying Hashem's name. There was nobody saying, this is ridiculous. We believe in Hashem. There was nobody saying that. This was a great shame on the Jewish people as a nation. There was a national mandate which they were missing. Shenedra mitzvah zois mikulam, because this mitzvah was absent from all of them. There was no Jew fulfilling it. Wait, did you ever hear such language before? The big problem was that there was nobody doing it. As long as there would be somebody doing it, we would be okay. What do you mean? How about all the other somebodies who aren't doing it? No. This is a mitzvah on the Jewish people as a whole. And therefore, if nobody's doing it, then the Jewish people are failing. If somebody is doing it, even if not everybody's doing it, then the Jewish people's role continues. Avo pachadu akril. When stafs a mitzvah elal mamar agarlahu, shepachad menu elam kulay. This mitzvah was perfectly designed for exactly that kind of a situation, where the whole world was overwhelmed and afraid and cowing to Nebuchadnezzar. It was most suitable that that's when Hashem's name should be publicized. But Hashem promised through the hands of Yeshayo Anavi, that indeed the Jewish people will not be completely shamed, will not be completely failing in their mandate. There will appear amongst the Jewish people yeladim, kids, young people that won't be afraid of death. They'll give up their lives, and they will publicize and strengthen faith in Hashem, and they will publicly sanctify Hashem's name as we were instructed through Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what, well, where does it say that? Where did Yeshaya say that? No, the Jewish people will not now be shamed. Their face will not be turned white. They will not blanch. When they see their young men, my creations in their midst, they will sanctify my name. Hanani Mishael v'Azariah saved the Jewish people. They saved the Jewish people because they did what all of us were supposed to do, to sanctify Hashem's name. And isn't something, they did exactly what Avram Avinu did, where Avram Avinu did it, in exactly the same context. The reason for existence, the raison d'etre of the Jewish people, was defined by Avram, and that was the Eschol Lagoy Godol, I'll make you a great nation. It's not numerous. It's not prosperous. It's legoy gadol. It's asher loy elokim krevim meilav. It's the extent of closeness that we have to Hashem that we're here to demonstrate. It's the presence of Hashem that we are here to establish on this earth. If others are banishing Hashem from this earth, Avraham Avinu is here to make Hashem Elokei Haaretz, the God of the earth. If Nebuchadnezzar or Nimrod are chasing him away, well, Avram and Hanani Mishael the Azariah are bringing him back. And the Rambam concludes and he says, and that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us for, or took us out of Mitzrayim for, Loshon Sifra,
Almanas kein haitesi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim almanas shetikatshu shemi baravim. You know why I took you out of Mitzrayim? I took you out of Mitzrayim to sanctify my name publicly. That's why. That's what it's for. That's what it's about. That's the purpose of existence that we have, that we got from Avram Avinu. And when you get to a story like Hanani Mishael v'Azariah, which is a rebirth, make no mistake about it. When the Jewish people went to Bavel, right? What do Chazal say? Why did Hashem send them to go into Golus Bavel? It's home. It's where we came from the first time. And now we're going to come from there the second time. And so, the same way we emerged from Bavel the first time, our first Lech Lecha was because of Avram Avinu's Mesiras Nefesh being thrown into the Kur HaBarzel, the fiery furnace, right, and emerging the Kiddush Hashem. And so we had, of course, when we left Mitzrayim in its own form, not exactly the same, but also its own Kur HaBarzel. Well, now the Jewish people in Bavel again would have their being tested in exactly the same way. And they would have to perform in exactly the same way. With Mesiras Nefesh, Lefarsem Shemai. Avram Avinu, excuse me, was a young man when he was thrown into the Kishon Aish. He was also Yeladav, like Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. And he stood up to the biggest power because it wasn't the biggest power. He stood up for the biggest power. He stood up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was his role. That was what he came to add to the world, to build onto the world. You know, it's an amazing thing that besides the contrast which we drew last time, in a sense with Noach, the contrast is there here within Avram Avinu's story himself. Because he's not facing off against some small potatoes. He's facing off against the person who could galvanize the entire world against Nebuchadnezzar, against Nimrod, like Hanani Mishael v'Azariah were. They weren't facing off against small potatoes. Nebuchadnezzar was Melech Bekipa. He was an empire builder. He was king of the world. Didn't make a difference. Didn't make a difference. And it's not just a matter of the bravery of Avram. It's what Avram's doing. Avram Avinu is not building the physical structure of the world. He's building, very, very successfully, the heart and soul of the world, its direction, its entire orientation. This is Avram. This is the role of Avram. This is some of what we see in the first Aliyah in our Parsha of what indeed Avram Avinu accomplishes in this regard. I would take a moment just to mention one more thing in closing, just so that we could say we covered it till Shani, not that we always will be able to. But this is also what Avram Avinu is doing when he's going down to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the land that is most devoid of Hashem Yisparach. The land where Hashem's presence is least felt. The Torah itself says, when it describes to the Jewish people in Sefer Dvarim, you know, you're coming from Eretz Mitzrayim, you're going to Eretz Yisrael, you have to know Eretz Yisrael is nothing like Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim, right, as we've discussed many times, it has the water systems down there on the ground. No connection to the heavens. It's its own place. But Eretz Yisrael is not. Eretz Yisrael, Limtar Shamayim Tishtamayim. It requires the rain from the heavens. It requires Hashem to look at it all the time. Eretz Mitzrayim is the most devoid of Hashem. But when Avram went down to Mitzrayim, what happened? Suddenly, miracles happen. And Paro says to Avram, you get out of here. We don't like miracles here. Take your wife, whoever she is, your sister, and go. And when the Jewish people go down to Mitzrayim later in the Maisa of Asim and Labanim, they don't want Hashem. Paro says, Lo Yadati Es Hashem. When he needed Hashem, when he needed Yosef, because otherwise Mitzrayim was going to disappear, was brought to its knees, no, then he was stuck. But that's the Nisim, that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's taking Hashem and putting him in the place which is least hospitable to him. That's where he's going. That's Vayikra B'Shem Hashem. That's Avram's job. The tasks which he willingly undertakes and the tasks which he finds himself pushed into is just to bring Hashem where he wasn't, to bring Hashem's presence vividly into the world. Vayikru b'shem Hashem. And that's our job. That's our job. That's what the Rambam wrote about the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, that's why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the mandate of the Jewish people. Oh, as Jewish persons, as Jewish individuals, we have all kinds of specific and particular mitzvahs. But as the Jewish nation, as Avram incarnate in us, we have one job. And that job is said overall, l'kadesh es Hashem, to bring Hashem's presence, to make Hashem Elokei Haaretz. We should do it well. We should succeed. And we should see the day of Ohaya Hashem, l'melech al kol haaretz, v'yamahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmei echad.